The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 4. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on January 11th, 2018, in Toronto, Canada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naimishe Animisha Chitre Rishaya Shaunaka Adaya Shatrum Svagaya Svagaya Lokaya Sahasra Samam Asata Naimishe Nimishatre Tre Rishaya Shanakadaya Shatang Svagaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasata Naimishe Nimishachetre Rishaya Shanakadaya Shatang Svagaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasata Naimishe, in the forest known as Naimisharanya, Animisha Chetre, the spot which is especially a favorite of Vishnu, who does not close his eyelids. Rishaya, sages, Shaunaka Adaya, headed by the great sage Shaunaka. Satram, sacrifice. Svagaya, the Lord who is glorified in heaven. Lokaya, and for the devotees who are always in touch with the Lord. Sahasra, 1,000. Samam, years, asata, performed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Once in a holy place, in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages headed by the sage Shaunaka assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and His devotees. Purport. The prelude of the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in the previous three shlokas. Now the main topic of this great literature is being presented. Srimad Bhagavatam, after its first recitation by Srila Shukadev Goswami, was repeated for the second time as Naimisharanya. In the Vayavya Tantra, it is said that Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, contemplated a great wheel which could enclose the universe. The hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. Similarly, there is another reference to the forest of Naimisharanya in the Varaha Purana, where it is stated that by performance of sacrifice at this place, the strength of demoniac people is curtailed. Thus, Brahmins prefer Naimisharanya for such sacrificial performances. The devotees of Lord Vishnu offer all kinds of sacrifices for His pleasure. The devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasures of material existence. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that anything performed in the material world for any reason other than for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu causes further bondage for the performer. It is enjoined, therefore, that all acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and his devotees. This will bring everyone peace and prosperity. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general, and as such, the sages headed by Shonaka and others assembled at this holy place of Namasharanya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well, and therefore, for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. Lord Vishnu is just like a great tree, and all others, including the demigods, men, siddhas, charanas, vidyadharas, and other living entities, are like branches, twigs, and leaves of that tree. By pouring water on the Buddha of the tree, all the parts of the tree are automatically nourished. Only those branches and leaves which are detached cannot be so satisfied. Detached branches and leaves dry up gradually despite all watering attempts. Similarly, human society, when it is detached from the personality of Godhead, like detached branches and leaves, is not capable of being watered, and one attempting to do so is simply wasting his energy and resources. The modern materialistic society is detached from its relation to the Supreme Lord, and all its plans which are being made by atheistic leaders are sure to be baffled at every step. Yet they do not wake up to this. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of his teachings in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose, and this will be explained more specifically later in the text. How much we've been blessed by Srila Prabhupada, that even though we are not able to have this class in the forest of Namasharanya this morning, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, this place is as good as Namasharanya. The center of the universe. This is Prabhupada's mystic potencies. He can transform any place where we hear his teachings, read his teachings, discuss his teachings, follow his teachings. That place becomes completely transcendental to this whole material existence. This material existence is a hellish nightmare. It's crazy. These people are just insane. They're carried away by false bodily consciousness. They're running after sense gratification. Madmen. But Prabhupada, we were also madmen running after sense gratification. But Prabhupada has so kindly delivered us. By the mercy of Prabhupada and the followers, those who are strictly following Srila Prabhupada, we have this opportunity now to come back to our original spiritual natures beyond this temporary material body, to get back to our eternal blissful selves, the spirit souls that we actually are. We don't remember it, but we are actually all associates of Krishna, are one of his expanded forms in his transcendental pastimes in the spiritual sky. We don't belong to this place. This is not our actual home. We are not of this place. We've forgotten it, but actually we are souls from that transcendental world who foolishly gotten caught up in this karma chakra due to our idiotic desire to want to enjoy separately from Krishna. Like the hand wanting to enjoy separately. I don't want to feed the belly. I will just enjoy that gulab jamun separately, squeezing in the fingers, you see. How much enjoyment the hand will actually get from that gulab jamun, you see, squeezing in the fingers. The real enjoyment of the hand is to give the foodstuffs to the belly. Similarly, the real enjoyment for the jiva, the living entity, is to give loving service to Krishna, the source of all existence, the fountainhead of all energies. So it's time now to come back to our real understanding of our existence, existential awakening, to actually understand who I really am, you see. Jivera Svarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. That's me. I'm not this body, this rotting corpse. This is not me. It's just a vehicle I've been assigned to use for my sense gratification or for Krishna's service. I have a choice. I can use it either way. Those who are intelligent, those who are fortunate, those who are blessed, utilize this vehicle, namely, in Spanish we say cuerpo. I just came from South America. A little Spanish coming. This body, you see, the corpse. And we think, soy cuerpo, I am this body. You see? But actually, I'm not this body. It's just a vehicle I've been issued. But due to so much absorption in the bodily consciousness, we think I'm the body. It's like somebody driving their car down the street. You smash into the back of them at the stop sign by being spaced out. They jump out. You hit me. You hit me. Did you actually hit him? No. You hit his car. But because he's so much thinking himself to be the car, he thinks it's so much engrossed in the car consciousness, he starts to think that he's the car. You see? So in a similar way, we're so much caught up in sense gratification that my happiness is to gratify my senses as much as possible. So much overly absorbed in this bodily plane, we start to think, this is me. Look in the mirror. How do I look this morning? Pretty horrible. Thinking it's me. So we have to hear from these great sages, the great sages of Namasharanya like Shonak Rishi, the great sages like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the great sages like Bhakti Marg Swami, you see. Hare Krishna. We have to hear from these great sages and understand fully well, you see, that I'm not this body. I'm an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of God. I was really happy to see the Prabhupada talking about peace and prosperity here many times in the purport. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. The sages know it well, and therefore the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace to the world. So this is actually a very important thing, you see. These rascal politicians, they talk about peace, but they have no idea what is actual peace. As long as they're killing the babies in the abortion clinics, as long as they're sending the cow to the slaughterhouse, there is no question of peace. These great sages, they know how actual peace can come in the world. They understand fully well the peace formula of Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantarnishtati. Krishna says, those who know me as the supreme owner, supreme enjoyer, and the best friend, suhridam sarvabhutanam, they have actual peace. Suhridam. That is the word Suhrit. Hrit, heart, Su, his heart or your heart. So that friend who is very, very dear to your heart, Suhrit, he is the most intimate friend. There's other types of friends, Mitru, Bandhu. They are not as intimate. But Suhrit, that is the dearmost, most intimate, intimate friend. Dear to the friend who is sitting there in your heart, you see. That is Krishna. He's the dearmost friend. Not just the casual friend, but he is absolutely the dearmost friend of Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, of all the living beings. So if we can simply introduce Krishna to the people of the world, that if you want peace in the world, you're talking about peace. You want peace? Well, here's how you can have peace. You have to simply understand Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, supreme owner, and best friend. And then you can have peace all over the world. Now there's a big anxiety about the nuclear weapons buildup in North Korea. And they're saying our missiles will reach North America. We can now nuke you. You see, this whole buildup, nuclear weapons. And it could happen. You see, there could be a nuclear war breakout at any time. Could be a missile on the way right now, for all I know. You know. So we have to really understand and learn how to educate the people in general. This peace formula. It's coming from the great sages of Naimisharanya, coming from Srila Prabhupada, coming from Krishna. How to bring actual peace and happiness to the world by putting God back in the center. I mean, it's actually idiotic, modern-day consciousness. Because we come into the world with nothing. What do you bring with you? And what do you take when you leave? Nothing. You come with nothing, you leave with nothing, in the middle you claim, mine, and you fight. This is my land. What are you doing on my land? This is my property. You see? So this false sense of proprietorship is the common denominator. Even a little kid, his neighbor, the neighbor kid comes over and he looks at the kid's toys and the kid says, mine, isn't it? Immediately. Even a little child has this false sense of proprietorship. We'll just speak of, as we get older, it gets worse. It becomes more intense. So we have to go beyond this false conception of I am the owner, I am the enjoyer. We have to go beyond that. We have to understand who actually owns everything. You see? Krishna is owning everything. To say Krishna owns everything, but to use it in my own sense gratification, that doesn't work. You see? You have to acknowledge Krishna's ownership and also act in terms of Krishna's ownership by engaging everything in his service. You see? When you factually do that, when you take everything that Krishna has given you and you offer it back to him, then you're a liberated soul. Otherwise, your liberation is theoretical. Krishna's the owner, Haribol, but I still use it for my sense enjoyment, you see. That doesn't work. Doesn't work. That's imperfect, incomplete Krishna consciousness. Perfect Krishna consciousness is to see everything is Krishna's property and engage everything. Even my very thoughts, you see, even my mind itself is Krishna's property. Nothing exists that is not Krishna's property. So my very self is the property of Krishna. My thoughts are the property. Everything I have is Krishna's. So I have to always think about Krishna. I have to always think, how can I purely serve him? How can my every thought and every word and every deed in all times, all places, and all circumstances be 100% pleasing to Krishna? You see? We have to master this art of weeding the mental garden. We have to see what kind of weeds are in there and kick them out. Get out. Weed the mental garden. You see? Where that false pride, kick it out. You see? That laziness, kick it out. That craziness, kick it out. That lust, kick it out. that envy, kick it out with boot. We have to become very heavy fighters in the mind, you see, each one of us. We're fighting with our own anartas. This is the real dividing line between advanced Krishna consciousness and neophyte Krishna consciousness, anarta nivritti. We begin the process, sraddha, we have faith in the process, it's very good. We move forward, oh, sadhus, these are so nice, these devotees. They're so wonderful to associate with them, you see. Sadhu Sangha, now I'm making more progress. What do they do? Well, they chant 16 rounds, they get initiated, they follow these regulated principles. Jai, I will also do, you see. So this is very good. So we're making progress, progress, progress. The real dividing line between the neophyte stage and the advanced stage is the Narta Nivritti. And that's where the battle really begins, you see. We see many people get initiated, come, so they have a little faith, they associate, get initiated, and they go away. Why? Because they never mastered an Narta Nivritti. That's the real dividing line, you see. Once you get to an Narta Nivritti, once it's solid in bringing those anartas almost completely under control, then it becomes very easy after that point. If I'm having difficulty in Krishna consciousness, it means I have not become strong in anartha nivritti yet. I have not become strong in anartha nivritti. One has become very, very strong and practically almost a nil, as Bhagavatam said, has brought these anartas almost to nil. For that person, it becomes very easy to progress in Krishna consciousness. So, instead of being discouraged or demoralized, we should embrace the struggle, you see. I must conquer this lust. I must conquer this anger. I must conquer this greed, this laziness, craziness, and all these things which have kept me entangled here in karma chakra for millions and billions of lifetimes. And now I must kick them out with boot. Therefore, one has to be very introspective. One should be always analyzing one's thoughts. Is this thought suitable for my advancement in Krishna consciousness, or is this getting in the way of my Krishna consciousness? You see, it's called intelligence, the analytical ability to study each thought as it comes into the brain and say, well, is this a good one or a bad one? You see, is this helping me to go forward or is it pulling me back? Is this thought is a good one or a bad one? If it's a bad one, kick it out. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said, beat the mind with shoes 100 times in the morning, and a thousand times in the morning, 1,000 times at night. So this is what it means, Narta Nivritti. Because if you can root it out on the mental, on the plane of the mind, you see, then your words will be proper. If I'm always thinking purely, my words will automatically be pure, and my actions will be pure. If I try to make a show of being advanced in Krishna consciousness by always speaking properly and acting properly, my mind is full of dirt, then eventually that dirt will manifest in my words and my actions, you see. But I'm very diligently fighting on that the platform of the mind. Kick it out, kick it out, kick it out. Get all that garbage out. Flush the damn toilet of the mind. Get that stool out. The mind, you see. Flush it out. The stool and urine of the mind. Flush it. Flush it. Flush it out, you see. If one is a determined fighter, Krishna will empower. You see. Krishna will empower. Krishna is willing to give all power and all strength, unlimited power and strength, to that person who's intensely determined to become an absolutely pure devotee as soon as possible. Of course, we don't proudly think we're there. That's another illusion. We know we have a long, long way to go. Long, long way to go. We've been entangled in this karma chakra for millions and billions of lifetimes. And those demoniac, lusty, angry, greedy, illusion, maddened, lazy tendencies, they're not easy to weed out. They're not easy to get rid of. They're not easy to get rid of. They're holding on very tightly to us. Tightly, we're in their grip. So even more tightly, we have to hold on to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. Even more tightly, you see. Tighter than Maya is holding on to us, we have to hold on to Guru and Krishna. And then Maya Devi sees our determination and says, oh yes, now you've passed the test. I'll let you go. Now I free you from all this stuff. So we're greatly blessed by these sages, the Naimisharanya sages, the Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya sages, greatly blessed by the ISKCON sages. I know in my own history how much I was blessed by Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Maharaj when he was a brahmachari, especially how much I was blessed by Vishnu Janaswami when he came to Austin and turned this hippie into a happy. So much blessed we are. We have to learn how to take full advantage of the sages, the devotees who are sincerely serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Take full advantage of these great personalities. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai, Lavamatta Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Even by 1/11th of a second, can you imagine what a brief flash of time that is? 1/11th of a second, love a mantra, only 1/11th of a second is all it takes. If I can properly take advantage of a sadhu's association, even for 1/11th of a second, sarva siddhi hoi, all perfection will be mine. So what can I understand about myself? Well, I haven't probably done it yet because I'm not perfect. I'm so lusty, I'm angry, I'm greedy, I'm lazy, I'm crazy. I got all this stuff. Why? Because I never really probably took advantage of sadhu's association, you see. I still haven't mastered it, you see. How to actually take the advantage of a sadhu's association. So I'm just praying to my dear Srila Prabhupada, my dear Krishna, please, please, I'm intensely begging you, somehow or other I can actually properly take advantage of a sadhu's association, you see. You see. Because that, in that 1/11th of a second, all perfection, what does that mean? Does it mean yogic siddhis? No, it means prema bhakti. All sarva siddhi, all perfections, not just some of them on different levels. Sarva siddhi hoi means every single perfection is achieved. The ultimate perfection, pure love of God, is achieved simply by properly taking advantage of sadhu association. So this is very powerful stuff here. This knowledge is so powerful, it can completely revolutionize this whole universe by the potency of these great sages and those who are following in the footsteps of these great sages. The whole universe can become transformed by this knowledge, by this name of Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada writes here, the modern materialistic society is detached from its relation to the Supreme Lord. And all its plans which are being made by atheistic leaders are sure to be baffled at every step, yet they do not wake up to this. So somehow or other we have to wake up these leaders. Well, we have to wake ourselves up, you know. If I'm still sleeping, how I can wake you up? You see what I'm saying? In other words, the more that we become awakened personally, each one of us, every ISKCON member, the more each one of us ISKCONites is awakened, that gives more and more potency to our movement to awaken the leaders, you see. As they sometimes say, be the revolution you want to make, you see. Our mission, Prabhupada told us, deliver the whole world. That's the order Prabhupada gave us. So how are we going to pull that off? Well, how about delivering ourselves? Prabhupada said the most important thing is to save the world. Even more important is to save yourself. You see? So the point is this. to the extent that we have actually been successful in delivering ourselves from the clutches of Maya and bringing ourselves onto the platform of Prema Bhakti, to whatever extent we've achieved that, 1%, 2%, 10%, 25%, 99%, whatever, to whatever extent we have been successful in bringing ourselves to the perfectional stage, to that extent and to that extent only we will be empowered to inspire the leaders of the world. You see? So we should take it not only for our own sake to become purely fixed in Krishna consciousness. We should take it for the sake of the suffering humanity as well. You see? Because whatever extent we have become awakened, to that extent we are empowered to awaken the sleeping souls of the planet Earth. And we are in desperate, desperate need of a spiritual awakening on this planet. It's horrible what's going on out there. And I look at the difference between the 50s when I grew up and now. It's shocking. The degradation of the society. How far it's going down, 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 down. And it just keeps going down and down and down. There's, you know, the only thing that can bring it up is Krishna consciousness. I mean, Trump's not going to bring it up. We have to, it's our duty to purify ourselves and deliver the world. Prabhupada gave us that duty. So we have to take this very seriously. How we, the quality of our japa is really where it starts. Quality of our japa. There's an amazing quote from Prabhupada on this connection. A very amazing. This is an absolutely amazing quote from Prabhupada. Right there in his books, he says that when a devotee chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru, and under his influence, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. So just see how important our chanting is. You see? Just see. So it's embarrassment for me how contaminated my chanting is at this point. I keep trying every day. Krishna, please bless me. I can purely chant your names. Every day I try, but every day I fail. Every day I fail. You see? But even one of us, you see, can absolutely master this chanting process. It will have a huge revolutionary impact on the whole global society. So this chanting, how we, the quality of our job is very, very important. Very, very important. We're blessed with 1,728 chances to connect with Krishna purely, each mantra, another chance to purely connect with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I don't know when the class ends, but it must end at a certain point. 8:30? Okay, so good. We have 10 minutes. 8:30 and then questions at 8:30? 8:30, 8:40, like that. Okay, so there, we can have some questions or corrections or challenges or whatever. I need to speak up because I left my hearing aid amp in the back of the ashram. You may can amplify for me the questions. Yes. How can somebody be discouraged?
If someone gets discouraged, how can we...
If someone gets discouraged, how can...
If someone gets discouraged, how can we help them?
Well, you should see all the discouraged... it's very common for me to counsel discouraged people. You see the emails I get every day. But my standard advice that I'm giving to everybody now is is beg Krishna for pure devotional service again and again throughout the day. Because if you beg for it, you get it. Krishna has been waiting for millions of lifetimes for us to sincerely beg for pure devotional service. Of course, the chanting of Hare Krishna also means that, you see. But We don't always chant in that mood. Sometimes we just chant mechanically, get my rounds done. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know. But the thing is to be in that mood of begging for pure devotional service throughout the day. Krishna, I'm offering this arti. Please bless me. I can offer it purely. Now I'm, you know, cooking this offering. Please bless me. I can do this in the pure mood of pure devotional service. I'm now giving a Bhagavatam class. Please bless me. I can do this in the mood of pure devotional service. If you keep begging for that mood of pure bhakti, it's miraculous. Not just once in the morning when you get up. Of course, it's a great way to begin the day. Krishna, please bless me that today I can purely serve you, absolutely without due purity, with every time, at all times, places, and circumstances throughout the whole day. May I be purely absorbed in serving you. Just begging for your pure bhakti is miraculous. It really is. And have them pray for pure bhakti. Tell them to pray for pure bhakti during as much as possible throughout the day. That's what I advise. I get, you know, as a spiritual master with disciples and students all over the world, I get tons of these emails. I'm having difficulty. I'm discouraged. It's like every day I get a mountain of this stuff, you know. But the advice I'm giving everyone now, you just have to keep praying for pure bhakti as much as possible throughout the day. Be always in that mood. What did Prabhupada say about himself? Insignificant beggar. Is he begging for what? For material things? No, begging for pure love of God. You see, that mood of being a beggar, always begging, Krishna, please bless me with pure devotional service. If one sincerely prays in that way, it's miraculous what will happen to them, I guarantee you. Have them pray for pure bhakti as much as possible throughout the day. Everything in that mood of begging Krishna, please, my dear Lord, help me awaken pure love of God within my heart. You see, that mood of begging is miraculous. And actually, that's the mood of chanting, as Prabhupada said, my dear Mother Radharani, my dear Krishna, please bless me. I can be fully engaged in pure devotional service. We're supposed to chant 24 hours a day, actually. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. So you can't beg too much for pure devotional service. Even if I pray 108 times during the day, that's not too much. Even 16,108 times during the day I beg for pure devotional service, that's not too much. And doing everything in that mood, you know, whether I'm managing, whether I'm cooking, whether I'm shopping, always in that mood of wanting to do it in a pure, absolutely pure way. Because right now we're not pure. We're contaminated. We're lusty, angry, greedy, mad and delusional, envious, lazy, crazy. Got all this garbage from our sense gratification consciousness still covering the pure love within the heart. So always wanting to get free and begging to get free from that dirt and manifest pure love. It's miraculous if one keeps begging for it. Next.
Online,
okay.
This is from Lipsa Mataji.
Who?
Leela Manjari Mataji.
The name?
Leela Manjari,
okay.
Srila Gurudev, when some thought enters our mind, how to remain aloof from it?
Aloof from it?
Yeah.
What kind of thought? A good one or a bad one? If it's a good thought, you don't want to be aloof from it. You want to go deeper into it. If it's a bad thought, it must be a bad thought. Say, Krishna, please help me get free from this dirty thought. This rascal thought. You just beg Krishna to help you. That's a simple thing. It's not that we're aloof from thinking. The my bodies want to turn off the mind. Turn off the mind and relax and float downstream, merge into the nothingness. You can't be aloof from thinking. We are thinkers by nature. You can't deny that nature like the my bodies foolishly try to do that. You can't stop thinking. You have to learn how to spiritualize your thinking, empower it, that it's always positive thinking, devotional thinking. Okay? Next.
The challenge actually occurs from the time the urge comes. Any kind of urge to say or do or whatever, something that might not be in Krishna consciousness.
And it is like, for example, when he gets a sex urge, you know, walking down the street, instead of thinking of Krishna, you're checking out the girls. Oh, look at that. You say the tendency. You know, when we were karmis, that was the lifestyle during the hippie era. It's a pretty degraded thing, you know, checking out the chicks, right? So, what if those kind of things still keep coming in the mind? What do you do with it? The interesting quote, in the early days, Prabhupada one time said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna, and Krishna will dance, Rasa dance with them. You just have to think how this, whatever it is, can be used for Krishna. That's one thing. You see? It can be used for Krishna. How Krishna can enjoy this, not me. If you're attracted to something, think, how can this be used for Krishna's enjoyment? That's one way. Instead of just denying it, say, how can it be used for Krishna's enjoyment? That's one technique that's very effective. Next.
Sometimes, doing so, one gets down also.
Doing what?
Just give the example.
They get down by doing, well, doing what?
Just you get the example of if somebody is attracted to the girls, we can think about bringing them for Krishna, so Krishna can enjoy, but while doing so,
yeah, they can again fall down. Yeah, it's dangerous.
So it's kind of dangerous.
That's why you have to always be begging for pure devotional service, because that's the higher taste, you see. Pure devotional, the nectar of awakening pure love of God exceeds by millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions, infinitesimal millions of times, any pleasure you can have in this material existence. We have to understand that. We have to acknowledge that. We have to be absolutely convinced that the pleasure of awakening pure love of God is even greater than being Lord Brahma. You see? If we have that conviction and we keep weeding out all these other little temptations, it's sneak in, saying, that's no good, that's no good, that's no good. Get out, get out, get out, get out, you see. And then we'll be successful. We have to have that conviction that pure devotional service is unlimitedly nectarian, unlimitedly tasteful, unlimitedly sweet, and nothing else can even come close to competing with it. Not even the most celestial pleasures you could enjoy in this material world and the heavenly planets, even... They can't come even close to the pleasure of pure love of God. We have to be convinced that pure love of God is the only enjoyment that actually exists. Everything else is illusion, maya, sukhaya. There is no pleasure except pure love of God. Nothing else is pleasurable except pure love of God. We have to be absolutely fixed in that consciousness and determined to weed out from the mind any other types of thoughts which are not in harmony with that principle. Understand? Everything else is a joke. It's a rip-off, as we say. It's a rip-off. Anything else besides pure love of God is simply a rip-off. You're being cheated once again. You want to be cheated? Then let your mind wander freely. And you will be cheated, I guarantee you. You will be cheated. Grossly cheated by the material nature. The yogi brings his mind under control. The bhakti yogi fixes his mind on Krishna, and he's never cheated. Krishna always blesses him unlimitedly at every minute. You see, if we have to come to that platform. We have to beg to come to that platform of only devotion to Krishna and nothing else in that mind except devotion to Krishna. Anything else? Y'all? There's nothing else. We can stop here and continue on with a wonderful day of begging Krishna for pure devotional service and begging him we can follow Prabhupada's order to live with the world. Yes? Anything else? That's it? And one more in the back? Okay.
Can you elaborate more on the chanting part? You say that it has to be pure because you understand it better, like what pure chanting is. Everybody has stages, so...
You better help me, huh?
Can you help us understand how to understand when we are going towards pure chanting? What is pure chanting?
Pure chanting means you're begging Krishna to be unlimitedly absorbed in his service. according to his instructions. Your agenda is now, his agenda is now your agenda. My dear Lord, I'm fully surrendered to you. As Prabhupada said, I am simply a puppet in your hands. You pull the strings and make me dance as you like. Krishna, now I totally belong to you. I'm fully surrendered to you. You can do whatever you want to with me. That's the consciousness we're trying to develop and manifest within our hearts. My Lord, I'll do whatever you say. I'm fully surrendered to you. Doesn't matter if you want to kill me right now. I'm willing to go to take another body and give this one up. If you want me to give this body right now, I'm ready. You want me to live for 1,000,000 years in this body? I'm ready. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm totally your property. Do whatever you want to with me. That's the mood we're trying to develop, you see. In that mood of totally surrendered, being totally captured by Krishna, Krishna, we capture Krishna also. He reciprocates. Prabhupada wrote me one letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. You see, that's very high level. And Krishna actually reveals himself to those who fully surrender. They can actually see Krishna in front of them. You see, because they've fully given themselves to Krishna, Krishna fully gives himself to them in reciprocation for their love. So we want to come to that point where Krishna actually reveals himself to us, a total, absolute surrender to him. And then Krishna will become manifest. We'll see Krishna. Even if we're physically blind, we'll be able to see Krishna. We'll see Krishna. Our divine eyes will become turned on, you see. Okay? Anything else? Nothing else? We'll stop here. One more thing.
I'll make an announcement before you go so I can talk about the program, the rest of the program for those who are wondering.
What do you want me to do? We stop here or not?
We can stop here, but I want to make an announcement.
I'll make an announcement. Okay, we'll stop here, but we'll leave everybody stay on for an announcement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.